Hello, this is Pastor Fred Brooks from Christ Family Church, located at 18506 Telegraph Road in Brownstown, Michigan. I want to thank you for downloading and listening to this message via podcast today, and I pray it'll be a source of blessing and encouragement to you. Christ Family is a Spirit-filled church full of people who are passionate about the things of God and who believe in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. If we can ever be of service to you, or you would like more information about Christ Family, simply contact us through our website at christfamily.com. May the Lord bless you, and remember, you are always welcome at Christ Family.
We're going to talk today about words that can change our world. I want to thank those who are participating. Sometimes communication in marriage can be a little tricky. And even though you don't have marshmallows in your mouth, your wife still doesn't know what you're talking about. Or your husband doesn't really understand what you're saying. But as important as communication in a relationship is, what we communicate to the world that we live in on Christ's behalf is vital. It's important. And it doesn't matter what nation we're talking about. I love this picture because the countries are made up of the words of those nations. Doesn't matter what language you speak, what your language of origin is. It is our ability to communicate our witness that will bring the gospel to the whole world. And you might say, well, how important is that? Well, Jesus said, once the gospel is preached to the entire world, then the end will come. So it literally is the ushering in of Jesus Christ. Well, let's look into the Word of God. Luke chapter 24, if you look at this contextually, this is the time after the resurrection when Jesus is appearing to his disciples. He's already been in the garden with some of the disciples and the ladies. He's come to the road to Emmaus and spoken with the two men there. And now he is in a room with the 11 and a few others. And he's going to communicate something that I believe will speak into our heart, this idea of my words. It says, now he said to them, these are my words. Everybody say, my words. Now remember, the word my is possessive, and it is speaking of Jesus. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. Thinking about this direction from Jesus, the thought comes into my heart that when it comes to my words, I'm either speaking words of my Savior or I'm speaking words of myself. You remember last week, my pillow? Well, they're either my Savior's words or my words. I've got a choice, and today I want us to see that the words of Christ, those inspired words from God coming out of our mouth, are the most important words that we can use. Now, as a Christian, I've thought about this a lot, serving the Lord for quite a while. And I'm a visual learner. I don't know about you. Do you know how to tell whether you're a visual learner or not? When you study something, like in school, when you study in your textbooks or at work, when you remember the things you studied, do you hear them or see them? For me, I can remember the location on the page, the words, and the position. That meant I was a visual learner, and that helped me to understand myself to be able to grow. As a visual learner, God speaks to me in pictures. Part of the reason that I really thought it was valuable for Zach to be able to show us something is for our visual learners to begin to get the motor going. What does that mean? What's important about communication? Why is that funny exercise supposed to do in my head? And so I saw on a sign in a hardware store the words true value. You've seen it too, right? I'm walking in the store and I look up and I see true value. And the Lord speaks to me instantly and he says this: what if every single person that you come into contact with can sense a greater value for themselves because of you? What if your words that you speak to someone make them feel a true value, their true value in my eyes, God said? What if that's really what I've called you to? If in a brief encounter at a cash register store, or walking through a neighborhood, or passing down a hallway, what if that in that instant you can release a greater value for that person than they would have had without your words? That was a real challenge for me because we live busy lives. We're kind of a fast-forward generation. And then I realized this powerful truth, a central point I need you to hear. Words carry power. Now, people may have told you words are power. I don't believe that. I've met a lot of mumbling people that, quite honestly, everything they said didn't really matter. Or do you ever have a friend who likes to talk, but really what they're saying is of no value? It's just wasted words. I don't think words are power, but they carry power with them if they're the right words. And so today I want to challenge you as a believer that your witness is not only the way you live, it's what you say. And what if you measure your words? We're going to talk about that a little later. Just like you kind of measure your finances. What if you could weigh your words and say, okay, at the end of the day, all these things that I said, which one of them is garbage? How about let's pair off the negative words? Let's take out the mean words, and then let's go even farther. Now I'm going to start offending myself. What if I take my selfish words away? Now, what if I've taken all those words out? What am I left with? Change? Nothing? That is not a witness. God speaking powerfully to our spirit. I asked someone in the church to talk to me about what this means. Someone that prays, someone that I trust, someone that has a calling on their life. And every now and then I'll come to you and I'll say, hey, help me, talk to me, speak to me, pray about this. What does it say? So I sent this to them and they wrote back the word bold. That our words should be bold when they're in Christ. They shouldn't be weak. They should be powerful. And if our words are Christ's words and they have power, then we don't have to be ashamed, Romans tells us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel but words? Words that represent the truth. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 18. And here you'll see some words, because sometimes there's danger in our mouth, isn't there? I like that picture. Some of you are already tearing up for the frog, right? Some of you feel like the frog. That other people have just torn you down and with their mouth has sought to destroy you. But can I tell you, God's on your side. Look at these words. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. What does that mean? Well, it explains it even further. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this down for you today to change your life. Because some of the ways that we can begin change is to start speaking differently. You say, well, I am who I am. Really? When you take a job in customer service, you can't say what you want to say. You say what you ought to say. When you find a relationship worth investing in, and you have that friend, all of a sudden, what is important to them is important enough to talk about. Some of you are holding the most treasured possession in your life, your grandchild, and you begin to speak words you never spoke in years. Oh, look at the poo-poo. I never thought I'd get those words to actually come out of my mouth, celebrating a loaded diaper. Seriously? But when my granddaughter came to me and said, it's been 2 days. I'm like, yeah, 2 days for what? Your grandson hasn't used the bathroom in 2 days. He's only a little boy. And so all of a sudden, we were celebrating the poo-poo. And those words were important. So I want you to think about it this way. In this verse, in these verses, I want you to picture yourself as an orchard. Can you do that? As a matter of fact, let's get a visual image. You are an orchard. Now, if you are an orchard, what kind of orchard would you be? Caitlin, what do you think? Do you have a favorite fruit? An apple orchard. Okay, there she is. That's Caitlin. Joelle, what kind of orchard would you be?
Peach.
A peach. You're an orchard. Your life is an orchard. This is kind of what Solomon is saying. And the fruit of that orchard are your words. Can you see that? The fruit that comes out of your mouth. Those words are the things that feed the world. They matter. What kind of fruit are you producing? We had a tree in my neighbor's yard, which was mostly in my yard. You know what I mean? The root and the stem and all the bottom of the tree was in their yard, but most of the tree was in my yard. And fortunately for me, it was a crabapple tree, which meant it produced fruit that nobody could eat, but that right at the right time would fall right into my yard, just so that I would have the joy of harvesting a whole lot of nothing. And so every late summer, early fall, I had the opportunity to rake up all of these things that I couldn't get one bite out of. I did watch my grandkids try to eat them, and I loved the look on their faces when they bit into that sour, nasty, scrawny fruit. It was almost worth that day's effort to see the... How's that taste? And yet, if my life is an orchard and my fruit is bad, that's what everyone else gets to enjoy. And this is what Solomon was saying to us. Your witness is in your words. What fruit are you producing? Now you might say, well, wait a minute now, Pastor, you're getting carried away. My words don't really matter. Nobody listens to me anyways. I'm just kind of a babbler or I don't talk much. And I thought about that and I said, Lord, what do I say to that? And this is how it came into my spirit. Imagine a man who was on trial for his life. Let's get a courtroom scene going. And he's standing there or sitting there in the courtroom and his life is in the balance. He's been arrested. He's been jailed and now he's coming up for trial. And the police and the prosecutor have found one rock solid witness. One witness who's seen it all and knows exactly what happened. And that witness is on the stand, and that witness is you. Do your words matter? Think about it. That witness is you, the one witness. This person's life in the balance. You're it, and you're on the stand, and they're going to ask you, what happened? Do your words matter? And God spoke that into my spirit and said, that is a reality in the life of every believer. That someone very close to you right now, their life is on the line, and your words matter. You say, oh, not my words. Yes, every word. People in your neighborhood, their lives are in the balance. You say, well, I don't know that. Really? Seriously? In the day that we live, you don't realize our lives are in the balance? You don't see the nature of life today? And yet God has picked you and placed you right in the family, right in the genealogy, right in the neighborhood that you need to be, right in the school that you've been called to, right in the job. This nation needs us. Your words matter. Coming up in a few months, we're going to be asked to vote. And a lot of Christians are going to say, you know what? I am disgusted, and I don't want to, and I'm staying home. But you know what? It's your word. Use your word for whatever you need to use it for. Use it. It's your word that matters. This nation is hanging in the balance. Solomon said it this way, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that. Think about Caesar. When the gladiator had his sword to the neck and the successor looked up in the stand, and whatever way he spoke would determine his fate. Death and life in the power of the tongue. I want you to see your words differently. I want you to see this important witness that God has placed on you. Remember last week when I said there's a difference between something that's true and something that's the truth? I want you to remember that just because something is true doesn't mean it's important to say. I have a saying, and I like it. It says, not all truth needs to be spoken. Anybody ever say, how does this make me look? Maybe it's better not to say the truth. Or maybe it's just better to find the truth that you can say that will really make a difference. So let's kind of wrap this up. Let's look at the words about Jesus in verse number 45, because I want you to see this. It says, then Jesus, he opened their minds to the scripture. Jesus was going to use his words, and I want you to see how vitally important it was. First of all, it says he opened their mind. The reason there's a picture of an egg is because that word open literally is like cracking into. It's kind of like breaking an egg. You know, an egg is good to eat, but you have to eat it by removing the shell. Many of us have thought processes, words that are go-to words, our go-to attitudes. And you know what? It's a helmet that is preventing us from using our words as a witness. Jesus knew that when he met with the apostles and the disciples. They didn't even believe he had resurrected, but here he was standing there right in front of them. The Bible says he cracked open their mind. And today, I think God was working here in this place and even at this altar, cracking away things that didn't belong, fear that didn't belong, prophecy that we have spoken over our own life. I'll never do it. I won't make it. I won't get it. It'll never happen for me. Nobody cares. These prophetic words that we speak, kind of pathetic, prophetic, that the devil speaks and we repeat. Yet Jesus was going to crack open their mind and allow his words to be poured in. This is why we spend time with the Lord every day. And I do recommend, even in the morning, if you can, before you leave, that you get enough time with God. How much time, Pastor? What do I do? That really is not my job to tell you. You spend time with Jesus until he has spoken to you and you have spoken to him, until something powerful gets placed inside of you. And man, if you cannot do that in 10 minutes, then get up earlier. And if you can't do it, if you're like me and slow in the morning, then get up an hour early until you come to a place where something is deposited in you. He opened their minds to understand. That word understand is putting the puzzle together. Life is a jigsaw puzzle, and the pieces don't seem to fit. We try this, nah. We go that way, nah. We do this, we do that, no. But see, the Lord knows. And so he helped them understand. He put it together. He said, you know what? Let me show you something. Back in Genesis, Moses held up a snake on a stick. And he said, look at this, all of you who are sick, and you'll be healed. I, Jesus, am going to be held up on a cross. Pastor, are you saying Jesus is a snake? Well, let me ask you something. Were the sins of the whole world placed on Jesus? Did he not take the sin of the world upon himself on the cross so that all who would come to him and, number one, repent, and number two, ask for forgiveness and new life would become brand new? He explained that to them because they never understood it. And then he went to the prophets. And he said, look, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, underground, underwater, literally in a sense, dead, that was a type of Christ who 3 days was in the tomb but was going to come to life again because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he took him to the Psalms and said, you know, David said that not even one bone in his body would be broken. But yet David was a warrior. He broke many bones. What was he speaking of? He was speaking of Christ on the cross when they said, we've got to get this guy dead. We better break these prisoners' legs. And when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. No bones were ever broken on Jesus. Speaking of me, he opened their mind to see things that they had never seen before. That's what time with Jesus will do. That will help you begin to change your words from your words to my words. Get a word from the Lord every day and share it boldly. Don't be timid about his words. They're life. They can change a life, save a life, heal a life, love a life, encourage a life. Share them boldly. Put your witness in your words. Get a word every day. When you leave the house, may there be a word from God on your lips that you can share. Lord knows they're going to share their words with you. I remember when I worked my first job, I was 15 years old. And I remember those texts saying to me, you know, one day you're going to say different words. You're not going to be this cute little church boy going around saying good morning and hello, and you're going to use these words. And then they began to curse at me. Those are the words you're going to learn. Oh, wait till he gets a factory job. Everybody talks like that in the factory. He's going to be spewing them out. It wasn't but 8 years, 6 years, 7 years later that I found myself in a factory working in a hot, sweaty forging mill. It was the most miserable job I'd ever imagined. I felt like I was in hell. I worked next to a blast furnace, and the door would open. 1,000 degrees would come shooting out on a nice 100-degree summer day. And my job was to take those hot pieces with a pitchfork. I guess I was the devil in this scenario. And shovel them into the bin. What a glorious task. And as a young man coming out of high school, I just did what any young man would do. I cried like a little baby. Never been treated like that in my life. God spoke to my spirit, and I remembered the words of those men who prophesied over my life that I would become hard and cynical and vulgar and dirty. And God said, it's up to you to decide what words you will use. And I felt a quickening of the Holy Spirit. That and a nice hot flake landed on my back. Woo! Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, I will praise you in this place. Nobody could hear anyways. The noise was so loud. The heat was so great. Nobody wanted to be around. I could praise him. Sing as loud as I want. Shout as loud as I want. And half the people there acted crazy anyway, so what difference would it make if one more? And I began to worship the Lord in that place. No, this isn't about me being great. Remember I told you I cried. And it might have even been, Chris, for more than one day. I don't recall. We block out the bad stuff. Years of counseling help. But my world began to change as my words changed. I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, it wasn't a horrible place to be. I kind of liked it. When winter came and you were all freezing, I was the warmest, toastiest guy on the planet. Yeah, every now and again, your pants would catch on fire, but hey, hot pants were in back then. And I felt the Holy Spirit whenever I walked into that place, and people were getting saved. Get a word from God every day and share it. Now, studies say, scientists have done studies. Numerous colleges have spent millions of dollars to do this study that say women speak 3 times as many words as men every day. And we really needed science to tell us this, right? I mean, as much as 13,000 more words every single day. I can't fathom this. I need an explanation. Can you help me understand? Yeah, now they're quiet. You like that? Don't you love it? I ask my wife, how was your day? And then that's it. We're off to the races. And we are going minute by minute, moment by moment, blow by blow, through there. That's when I begin praying in the Spirit. Lord, give me the interpretation. Help me know what this means. And don't ever forget who the person was in the first 5 minutes of the conversation that will be brought up 30 minutes later, because there is going to be a test. But can I tell you something? Your words, no matter whether few or great, and I use more words than most men, so I'm probably as guilty as any woman in this place. But even my words are measured. There's only a limit to the amount of words I'm going to get in a day. I need to know that those words are ordered by the Lord. I need to know that I am filled up with the Holy Spirit so that the words that come out of my mouth are His words. Words that can change the world. Words that can make a difference. Words that can add value. Words that can speak life. Words that come not from earth but from heaven. And when spoken, carry power, that are anointed and can heal the sick, that can raise the dead, that can bring sinners back to life and bring hope to people again. Those are the words He wants us to speak. Now let me end everything by showing you a video, and I want to preempt this video, David, before you shoot it up on the screen. Don't press play yet and make sure the volume's high. This video is of a couple speaking to their parents. The mom and dad have headphones on with music playing, so they cannot hear their actual words. All they can do is read their lips and try to guess what the kids are saying. Go ahead and watch this.
Piper.
I'm pregnant.
Piper.
Yes.
Yeah. Keep saying it. Keep saying it.
You're going to be. Yeah. You're Are going you? To be grandparent.
Keep saying it.
You're going to be a grandparent.
Short.
You're going to be a grandparent.
Do you want me to what?
You are going to be beach.
You are going to beach.
You are going to be.
You are going to beach and.
Be a.
And what?
You are going to be a.
I'm going to behave.
Grandfather.
I'm a father.
Grandfather.
A great father.
Grandfather.
Grandfather.
Yes.
I'm going to be a grandfather.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to be a grandfather. I'm going to be a grandfather. I'm going to be a grandfather.
Yes.
Oh, we're going to be grandfather. I can't believe that.
Man, that hurts.
Are you going to get pregnant?
There's a lot of hugging and kissing and crying that go on for the rest of this. Is that not just awesome? Didn't just touch your heart? And yet, even when we had our little game show here, we are not understood by the world. We are saying things and they're going, I'm going to the beach. I'm going to behave. I'm a great father. You will speak words. And the world will hear different words. Or like the marshmallow mouths, they're going to hear, No, Jesus loves you. Because there's an enemy that blocks the message from being heard. But I want to challenge you. Continue to use those words in your witness. Continue to measure your words. Realize that you only have so much time and so many words. And sometimes we're so busy talking about so many things that we confuse the message. God wants us to measure our words, to know, am I speaking about, and you can ask yourself, am I speaking about myself or my Savior? When people come to me, is it all about me? Is that really what's important? What's on Pat's mind? What does Pat want? How does Pat feel? What does Pat think? Who cares? People don't really care as much as they need to care about their soul. Let's look at this last verse, and we want to pray. Verse 48, this is how Jesus summed it up. There's a picture of Detroit as the sun is setting over our city, that parent city that kind of hovers over us. Some of you came from Detroit, moved down here. Maybe you still live there, I don't know. But when the sun goes down and the words have all been spoken, that's why we pray at night sometimes to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I used those angry words. I'm sorry that I didn't say what you wanted me to say. I'm sorry that when I saw that person, I just walked right by, didn't care. Jesus is not condemning me. He's not condemning you, but what he is saying is you are witnesses of these things. That's what he told the disciples. You may just now be beginning to grasp the truth of who I am, but understand this, no matter where you go and what you do, you are a witness. The world is on trial. The sentence is coming. For some, it may be their last day, but you have a word that you can release that can set them free. Words of my Savior rather than myself. What do I say, Pastor? You know what? You're a witness. Just tell them. Tell them what Jesus means to you. Tell them what he's done for you. Tell him what his word says he is. Declare the truth. Not always what's true, but declare the truth. You are witnesses of these things. Would you stand with me, please? I want to pray this prayer with you. I love that word, boldly. Remember in Star Trek, they would always say to boldly go where no man or woman, Caitlin, has gone before. Comedian Henry Cho said he had a friend so dumb, he said, why don't they ever go to boldly go?